CliffCentral.com.
Rob Cohen is on the line. Rob is a collector of whiskey and tequila. You know what we talk about on Mondays now is people and their collections. If you're a fanatic or a devotee or an aficionado, or you're someone who's exhibiting enthusiasm in a really bizarre way, don't feel bad. This is where we get to discuss these things. And today we're continuing our weekly dose of collectomania. We're talking to a collector today of whiskey and tequila, two things that Leanne and I can identify with very much more than most things. And Rob, it's a great pleasure to see you. So first of all, is that your collection? Oh, hang on, there's some noise.
That's behind me.
Oh, wow, that's
and so it started 15 years ago. I started dating a girl who was really good looking and a lot better than me.
Yeah.
And she was a daughter of a Scotsman. And I thought the only way into that family was to start researching about whiskey. So 15 years later, I married her. I've got 600 bottles of whiskey or so, two children, and I'm by far the favorite son-in-law. So it's worked pretty well.
Well, first of all, listen, it's really great to see anybody who's got a collection. But a collection of whiskeys, this is not cheap business that you're talking about here. Whiskeys, and we'll get to the tequila in a moment because I've got lots of questions on that front. But whiskey is well known across the world as being something which can, you know, prices can go sky high on some of these, especially the Japanese ones. We've got Scotch, we've got the whiskey that the Irish make, there is whiskey that's made in other countries in the world, and then there's the Japanese stuff too. So tell us how the whiskey thing began and what your collection comprises of now, because it must be quite substantial.
Yeah, so my collection would probably be worth a lot of money if I wouldn't have opened most of the bottles. I like to drink them. So it started off, buying a whiskey, doing a lot of research on them and hoping that it would escalate in sort of value. Some mm-hmm. of them have, where I bought, you know, a bottle for, call it a 400 Rand, now it's worth 40 grand. Sure. But that hasn't been the reason for obviously collecting. It's just to be, you know, I'm really love the subject. I love where the history behind the whiskey, where it comes from, what type of cask, is it in a sherry cask, what region it comes from. So I've got about 80 different Japanese whiskeys, and those are just worth a hell of a lot of money now because of the demand outweighs the supply. Yeah. I've held 30 bottles.
Say that again.
So I've held back about 20 to 30 bottles of sort of Japanese and some rare bottles to open up on special occasions. It has cost a lot of money along the way, but the enjoyment factor is worth more than the money to me.
Yeah, you know, for people who are collectors, and I've discussed already how I'm a collector of a bunch of different things, that's actually the reason that you want money. It's almost the reason that you work extra hard so you could buy this stuff. But it must be very difficult for you as a whiskey collector, because the whiskey is a consumable, or tequila for that matter, and you have to be torn sometimes between, do I open this up and taste it, or share it with a friend, or share it with someone who I haven't seen in a while, or do I just let it stay in the cupboard and grow in value? But you're going to miss out on the whole reason that you bought the thing, which is to taste it.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I just don't have the restraint in terms of just looking at it and letting it sit on the cupboard and just looking at me and pleading for someone to drink it. So I just open it up, and any friend who comes over, I don't give them the cheap stuff. It's all good stuff. Wow. And we get to talk about it. And that's another thing about your collections, is that it becomes a conversational point for everyone. I know where every single bottle of whiskey comes from, where I got it when I was doing international travel, when the borders were open, mm-hmm. where it comes from, who the distiller is, a little bit about the farm, et cetera. So it's just it's a great thing to discuss with your friends and colleagues and, clients, etc. So, yeah.
Well, Leanne was just pulling a face when you said, like, sometimes you can't imagine it just sitting on the cupboard and moldering away there. But I mean, whiskies, do they get better or worse, or do they stay more or less the same? I mean, I know that wine ages as long as you keep it well and you keep it in the right way, and you know, if there's contact between the cork and the liquid. But whiskey is pretty much whiskey, right? It's not going to stay. It's not going to change.
Yeah,
over
I
years.
Mean, is there some kind of cutoff point?
Only thing is that it may start to evaporate once it opens. So you just got to keep it in sort of a dry place and not exposed to sun, and it should be fine.
Hmm. Yeah. Leanne had a whiskey collection, but she drank it all. It's finished now. It doesn't exist.
No, it evaporated. No, this is why it's so interesting. It actually evaporated.
Yeah.
Into your throat, that is.
So, Rob, I mean, tequila.
I have a very porous, yes. I have a very porous house. Yeah. And it evaporated.
Porous house.
You can come over to my place anytime, and you know.
All right, Rob, I need to know from you quickly, because tequila is something that I share a passion with you about, and tequila is it just a terrific, it's a really great alcohol. I for all the reasons that I've discussed a million times on this show and in person with everybody I know. But the difference between a really cheap, nasty Blanco tequila that you would use to clean things at home, you would never ever drink, and a good Añejo, which is like, you know, top of the range stuff that the Mexicans regard as being, you know, water straight out of the tears of Jesus. I mean, tell me about the kinds of tequilas that you've got, because this is going to make me jealous.
Yeah, so I was in Mexico, and you know, when we were brought, you know, when I was at school or out of school, older than 18, we grew up with really terrible tequila, Olmegos, Jose Cuervos, cheap stuff that when we would wake up, we didn't want to wake up because we just would have this terrible hangover. To Mexico, I realized how sophisticated this drink is in terms of the workmanship, what goes into it, the blue agave, because all tequila comes, it's actual blue agave. So when you go into that and you actually see what it does and what it's meant to taste like, that you don't have to dilute it, you can drink it neat or with a block of ice. And then when you wake up the next morning, you've got no hangover because of the natural spirit, you know, the sugars that come from the blue agave. It was just very intriguing for me. So I've got about over 100 different mezcals and tequilas, some amazing from Blancos, Reposados. You guys obviously know the difference. A Blanco can be distilled immediately. It's the white spirit. Reposados from 2 to 12 months distilled. Añejo is 1 to 3 years. And extra Añejo has been distilled for over 3 to anything more than that. So when I went to Mexico, I just saw these beautiful bottles and, you know, the history behind it. I mean, I'll show you a bottle or two. These beautiful. This has been in 7 years in a cask. I mean, it's really amazing. Then when you get like the Jose Cuervos, this is the top of the range. Jose Cuervo.
That's the Reserva de la Familia.
Yeah, exactly. Which that's is just good. Like drinking in a beautiful single malt. This is Herradura, the top of the range. Also, just 7 or 8 years. And the stuff is just, you know, makes you feel great. It's something that you want to share with friends. You don't really want to drink it alone because it may fire you up quite a bit. But it's just a beautiful drink, and it's just delicious. I mean, this at the moment, this actual bottle is the one that's trending the most. All the celebrities are drinking. It's called
Oprah's favorite tequila.
What is it? She punted this. It's called Casa Dragon. And a lot of the tequila enthusiasts don't like it because they say that the way of making it is slightly cheating, but it is really delicious.
You said Casa what? Dragones?
Casa Dragones.
Wow. Okay. What did Oprah Winfrey say about this year? He's such a fan of Oprah. If he could collect anything, it would be Oprah. Go on.
Oprah said, "It's time for my favorite things. Here's my favorite tequila."
Jesus.
Exactly.
She's so excitable. Exactly. All right. Okay. So listen, I've seen some of these bottles. I mean, a lot of them are hand painted. They're made of porcelain. They're hand painted. Some of them are you know, individually designed. The bottle that you buy,
they're like perfume bottles. Yeah, they're amazing.
It's a one of a kind in many cases. And the prices of really expensive tequilas can go all the way up, right?
Correct. I mean, it's not on the same level as a whiskey, where things are fetching for millions of dollars sometimes per whiskey. some of these Macallans that have been, you know, 80 to 90 years old. But a good tequila, you know, your best tequila won't be more than sort of 10,000 Rand. I mean, you're probably looking at your price really good from 1,000 Rand to sort of 5,000-7,000 Rand for your best stuff.
What's your favorite tequila you've ever had?
I mean, this is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
The Herradura. And so the Grand Mayan, if you can get yourself a bottle of this, it's just incredible.
So a lot of the celebrities are making their own tequilas. I saw George Clooney's one, and someone gave it to me, that Casamigos. He gave it to me as a present, and it's disgusting. It tastes like someone, like a tramp, has put their feet in water for a week. It's really awful. Do you like it? You like that? Oh, hang on, he's gone. Got to get him back. But really, the George Clooney one is horrible. Really, it's disgusting.
Oh,
it's
no.
Horrible tasting stuff, and not... you know, there's a difference between a mezcal.
Explain it.
There's a difference between a mezcal and a tequila, which we'll talk about in a second. But the George Clooney one, I thought, oh, what a nice gift. You know, it's a beautiful black bottle and it looks like it's, you know, when a bottle looks like it's frozen, like it's got that ice sort of texture to it. And then I opened it up and I was all excited and I had people here and we all tried some and everybody, to a person, every one of them went, not nice. Oh.
Did it taste like the cheap stuff, or did it taste nothing like tequila?
It didn't taste it was like a bad silver tequila, you know, I do not like the silver. It's just too much. It comes straight off the pot still, like Rob was saying. It hasn't been aged at all. So all of those very, very powerful and strong and pungent alcohols are still very much in the material. And I don't like that so much. It needs to age a little bit. It needs to be matured in the cask. And that's why a good Añejo or a good Reposado are always to be preferred over a Blanco. But, you know, there are only three kinds of tequila. There are different brand names, but there are only three types of tequila. And those are the three that we've just mentioned now. However, I will say that as far as brands go, I'm not particularly loyal. So I don't mind whether it's a Herradura or a Don Julio or a Patron or a, what was the other one that he mentioned earlier? A Fortaleza is a nice one too. So there are a couple of good ones.
Ooh.
Well, it's a good thing that you're not just sticky with brands, because it keeps your options open and your mind open for trying new things.
And I'll be honest with you. He said that, you know, when we grew up, we had these horrible tequilas, but I still drink some of those horrible ones as well. You know, the cheaper ones that God alone knows what they do to them. It's probably not nearly as pure a blue agave as all the others, but it's still something that I'll do. I'd rather do that some of the time than drink anything else. And I do not drink other shots of any kind, and I don't drink any other alcohol, frankly. And I'm not a big, you know, I'm not a big beer guy. I'm not a big vodka guy. It's not really my scene. So for all those reasons, I'm solidly a tequila man. He has over 100 bottles of tequila and mezcal, as well as well over 600 bottles of whiskey, Rob. So he's a real collector.
Wow. When I lived in McGregor, there was a bar called Whiskey John's. Well, it was called something else, but we used to call it Whiskey John's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a guy from the UK, John, who'd collected whiskeys from his whole life. And I swear he bought this bar just to display them in.
Wow.
Because you couldn't drink them or buy them. You could only, it was a normal pub. I mean, you could only drink the normal stuff.
Oh, really? So but, he didn't let you have any, no matter how much you'd pay?
Yeah, exactly. Because they were a collection and he wanted them closed. But he had these lit up shelves with all of these whiskeys, which was just amazing. And the stories he could tell. I mean, It's like a picture book in your head, having collected these things from all over the world. But you just have to take one look at one label and it brings back a flood of memory.
I'm going to see if we can get Rob back one last time, because I want to ask him one or two more questions about the tequilas. But Eleutheria wants to know here quickly, Gareth, have you got your special tequila from the US yet? Was it the Elon Musk one? Hey, sorry, Rob, we lost you there. Rob,
sorry about that.
No worries. So I was explaining to everybody the difference between the different kinds of tequila. But I asked you, what's your favorite tequila to drink, and you mentioned the Herradura. Do you have a favorite whiskey?
Whiskey is a difficult one. I like any Macallan, and I like the really peaty stuff. So, Belachin, I like Lafroy, Talisker, Lagavulin, any of the sort of peaty ones, I'm a big fan of. But there is an expression that there's no such thing as a bad single malt, and I've yet to find a bad one. So, I like all of it.
Someone wants to know in the questions, what is your most expensive whiskey in your stash?
I've got a very old Yamazaki whiskey that's worth apparently a lot of money on auction. Really? So that I'm going to open up at my 50th birthday party.
Nice.
With a few selected friends, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it.
It must have a lot of horsepower, your Yamazaki.
It's got a lot. Yeah, it does. I want to just tell you a quick funny story about that. You were mentioned George Clooney, and he sold Casamigos with Randy Gerber, mm-hmm. who's Cindy Crawford's husband. They sold the company for $1 billion. And George Clooney invited 20 of his best friends over for a dinner party. And at the end of the dinner party, he gave them a Tumi suitcase with $1 million each to celebrate his success of selling out the company.
That's amazing.
It was quite a good story.
Jesus, that's a real friend. You really want to be George Clooney's friend. Oh, wow. Listen, those are the kind of people. But there are a lot of these celebrity tequilas. Some of them are supposedly very, very nice. Some of them are not so nice. I'm not a fan of the George Clooney Casamigos one, but I do like pretty much every other tequila that I've ever tasted. There isn't one that I've gone, ew, besides the George Clooney one. So, all right. Rob, this is just an amazing thing to be collecting, and I'm glad that you also enjoy it and don't just keep it there locked away forever, because I think that's kind of sad. You know, there's nothing worse. Imagine if you died and you'd never had any of those whiskeys or those tequilas. It would have been such a waste, right?
Absolutely. So it's there to be, and I've got enough tequila and whiskey to probably last me another pandemic. So the next time you guys in Cape Town come and have a drink.
You don't have Yay. To. You won't have to ask twice. Thank you, Rob. It's very nice to meet you.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Likewise. Thanks, guys.
There he is. There's Rob Cohen. He collects whiskey and tequila. An amazing collection that he's got there. 15 years of building that collection up. And I just love the story that the way he started was he fell in love with a girl whose father was a Scotsman, and to impress the father who became his father-in-law, he started to delve into the depths of Scottish whiskey. By the way, his father-in-law is actually the guy who did the voiceover for the Bell's Scotch whiskey ad. Give that man a belch. So how's that for
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story.
And he likes a peaty whiskey.
I likes a peaty whiskey. Something from the Islay region. I'm not even sure. I remember I went up to Scotland in the 2000s. They took me to, the Diageo group took me to this castle called Dremur.
I remember you were on air from there. You Leanne, live thing from there.
Leanne, Rob, who we just had on the line now, would have done his nut. We were in this library, and instead of books on the shelves of this library, they had every single malt Scotch whiskey in all of Scotland. And you could help yourself to whatever you wanted. You could try all the different ones. You could take the tiniest amount of each one and try them, and then if you liked it, have some more. And it was just incredible. And it was a big billiards table in the middle of the room. It was just the most fun week that I've ever spent in terms of like trying new things in alcohol. And it was very, very instructive and educational. And I hope that I managed to absorb as much as not just of the whiskey, but of the knowledge that they were trying to impart to us, because it was really special. I do think that whiskey is the kind of drink, though, that you have to. It's almost like certain kinds of music. They only appeal to you later in life because you need to have a depth of understanding and a maturity to appreciate it, which I hope I did at the time. I mean, I can still remember lots of it. And there was this brilliant, brilliant man called Chris who took us around Scotland. We went to the source of where they get the water for their whiskies. It showed us all of the processes that they go through to make it. It's just the most unbelievable level of dedication. I mean, some people, their entire lives are built around whiskey. So if that's the kind of thing you collect, good for you. And of course, This is just one in our series of Collectomania, which is, of course, brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange. There's something to collect. And the Scoin Shop. And there are Scoin Shops across South Africa where you can also go and start a collection of your own if you want to buy, you know, something really, really collectible. They have incredible ranges and series of coins, which you can go and check out. And it's not just coins. They have lots of other interesting things in their shops, too. So that's the Scoin Shop and the South African Gold Coin Exchange. Always one of my favorite parts of the week to hear about everyone's collections. Vince says he's an anti-collector. He spends a lot of time trying to carefully get rid of as much stuff as possible, asking himself, do I really need this?
Oh, yes, Vince, though you do.
So Eletheria was asking this when we got Rob back on. Gareth, have you got your special tequila from the US yet, the Elon Musk one? Yeah, a friend of mine bought one because they were a very limited edition, and he said he was going to send it to me, but I just, you know, to go back to something we discussed 2 weeks ago, I don't trust the post office, so I've said to him, just keep it, and when I fly over, whenever that might be, I'll collect it.
In 2027.
Sure. Well, yeah, if I can still, if I can still walk by that age, we'll have to see. Yeah. Now, Ruth says, I'm so glad I'm listening. I love my whiskey. It's on my bucket list to go to various distilleries in Scotland. Oh, yeah, that is special. Scotland.
I saw that message and I thought about the fact that my, you know, I come from the McKellar clan, mm-hmm. and my birth surname was Boyle.
That's also Scottish. Yes.
So I'm like a full-blooded Scotsman, but I've never been to Scotland. I've been really close many times.
You're a Scots lass. That's what you are, not a Scotsman.
Yeah.
Is it spelled B-O-Y-L-E?
Yes, not B-O-I-L. I mean, so I know my surname is
Boyle.
Yes, and my surname now is Mole, so I've got two body growths down so far.
Boils and moles.
In my repertoire. I just need to marry other skin lesions do you get?
A verruca. Or a corn, Leanne Corn, or pimple.
Oh, please, let's make it happen, please.
Leanne Corn.
I can try.
Any willing suitor with the surname Corn, email us.
Here's Steph wants to know about the difference between tequila and mezcal. The mezcal is supposed to have the worm in it, to give you the short version of that. Tequila is made from the blue agave plant, and mezcal is distilled slightly differently, but I'm not the expert in this. It's really something we should have asked Rob. I'll try to find out for you for tomorrow's show, just out of pure curiosity. But as far as I know, they are quite different spirits, and mezcal is the one that usually has the worm in it. But it's usually a dried up old worm, and you're not meant to be too disturbed by that. It's like more of a feature.
I dated someone with one of those once.
Oh, really? Well, with a worm? That's horrible.
A dried up old worm.
All right. Well, I'm afraid on that very creepy note, it's time to end this morning's fun. CliffCentral.com